Listening Library presents The Luck Eater by Zach Lauren Clark. Read for you by Anne-Marie Lee. For the Brooklyn Wizards, Nick and Andrew, Billy and Nico, Jack and Seth, Laura and Sarah, I'm so grateful to have you all in my life. Chapter 1. Nearly everyone at the Merry Trails Orphanage for Girls agreed. Abraxas was not a good cat. He was stubborn and hateful, which wasn't itself unusual in cats and didn't even necessarily preclude a cat from goodness. Plenty of the girls' favorite stories featured cats who were notorious grumps, and yet they maintained a certain charisma. But Abraxas was also unsightly. Again, ugly cats were commonplace in the streets of Crossport, and the girls loved them all the same. Some were rakish toms, riddled with the scars of their many cat duels. Some were misshapen but sweet, with smushed-in faces and warbling cries that softened even the most callous hearts. Abraxas was neither. Where he had fur, it was a vague sort of gray. His stomach was completely bald, and one white eye had a milky quality to it. And he stunk, noxious from the pearly globs of wetness Mrs. Harbargan fed him twice a day. All of this might have been perfectly fine if Abraxas had at least been entertaining, but the orphanage's pet cat was sedentary during the day, hissing at any of the girls who came too close. Little Mariana Porch had once dared to bring a broom handle within a few inches of his face, dangling a feather in the manner she'd seen two rich children in town do, playing with their gorgeous Siamese. She'd hoped to entice Abraxas into doing something silly. Both Broom and Mariana still bore the scars from that unfortunate day. But what made the cat truly not good was what happened after Lights Out, because at night Abraxas finally came alive. He stalked the halls of the orphanage like a wraith, yowling and scratching ceaselessly at every door and window he could reach. Mrs. Harbargan slept like a stone. Her room was nestled all the way at the bottom of the tall house, while Abraxas was locked into the upper floor hallway. She never heard the cat's nightly pandemoniums and waved away the girls' complaints as whining, even as the upstairs doors were thinned away one claw-sized notch at a time. It was on just one such a night that Melanie Gate decided she'd had enough. "Where are you going?" whispered Jane Alley. Melanie could just see her friend's light brown face hovering from the top bunk beside her own, her large eyes wide and worried. Jane was agonizingly shy, the sort of girl who hid away from her own name day parties. That she'd spoken up at all meant she'd sensed Melanie was about to do something particularly audacious. Jane always seemed to know, sometimes even before Melanie herself. Outside the dormitory, Abraxas yowled. He was rattling the hall window with his paws as if playing a glass drum. "I can't stand it anymore," Melanie said, shuffling to the edge of her bed and lowering herself gently to the floor below. Her face was pale and irritated as she glimpsed it in the room's small mirror. "I haven't slept more than 10 hours all week." Sunmee Churchyard's bunk was just below Melanie's. She pushed a lock of dark hair from her eyes. "But what are you going to do?" she asked, sitting up as Melanie slid her feet into her slippers. They were donations from the wealthy families during the last Night of Gold festival, addressed to the poor, sweet orphans with affection and heartache. "He wants out so badly," Melanie said primly. I'm going to give him what he wants. Across the room, Agatha Chicken Coop laughed. She brushed a tangle of russet curls from her tawny, freckled face to better smirk at Melanie. Mrs. Harbargan locked all the doors and windows. If they're open, she'll know it was you, Lockeater. You'll get punished. By now, all the girls were sitting up in their beds and watching Melanie as she marched toward the dormitory door in her nightgown and slippers. There's more than one way to open a window, Melanie declared. One of these days, Abraxas is bound to rattle the glass just a bit too hard. She revealed the weighty fire iron that she'd smuggled beneath her bedspread, and a chorus of gasps filled the room. Don't! Little Mariana squeaked. Oh, Mrs. Harbargan will be so mad, said Baruti Harbor. She pulled her favorite blue blanket around her until it nearly covered her dark brown face and eyes. Melanie reached the door and whirled around, brandishing the iron. Just outside, Abraxas had broken into a wailing aria. His voice was like a mournful young soprano with a rock in her mouth, trapped inside a bucket. Mad is what we'll be if we don't get some sleep, Melanie said. They'll have to rename this place the Merry Trails Asylum for Cat Killers. Listen to him, she added. He wants out as much as we want him gone. I'm striking a blow for liberty. Abraxas had begun drumming against the window pane again, providing Melanie's revolution with a jangling anthem. Can I at least count on you not to tell? Melanie asked. Harbargan can't punish all of us. Melanie's eyes slowly scanned the dormitory, falling on each of her friends in turn. I'm doing this for everyone, she said. There was a long moment of not quite silence. Then a timid voice called out. I won't tell, said Jane.
Me neither, Agatha announced boldly.
One by one, the girls agreed. Melanie beamed at them. She nodded, then turned and faced the locked dormitory door. She placed her hand on the knob, and there was a genial mechanical noise. Pins and springs slipped helpfully out of the way. Then Melanie twisted the knob, fire iron in hand, and the door creaked open. She stepped alone into the hall. Melanie Gate had always been good at opening things. Doors, windows, places of passage just welcomed her. Locks malfunctioned when she needed to get by in a hurry. In the springtime, windows that had been rusted shut for years would lurch open with clouds of auburn flakes. As a very young girl, Melanie would sometimes be found wandering the lower floors of the house, exploring after lights out. Though Mrs. Harbargan had always carefully locked both the door to the girls' dormitory and the one leading downstairs, she'd invariably discover them wide open the next morning. After a few near escapes by Abraxas, Melanie was finally broken up this habit through a week of missed desserts. But the strange skill went back as far as infancy. Like all the foundling girls at Merry Trails, Melanie had been named after the place she was discovered. As Mrs. Harbargan told it, a pair of city guards had been strolling past Crossport's south gate during their evening rounds. The gate was fastened shut and locked, as it was every night. Just when they'd passed by, however, the guards heard a horrific clamor behind them. They spun around to discover that the enormous south gate was cracked open, as if it had never been bolted closed. Only the enchantments of the city's aldermages kept the ponderous doors from swinging completely wide, and there, wedged between them, was a very determined toddler with chestnut curls trying to pull herself through the gap and into the city. Melanie was promptly deposited at the orphanage.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?